I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio. I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
On this show, we'll talk to Francois Guillaume Jr., Haiti earthquake survivor, and he's in support of Royal Caribbean's decision to continue service to Labadee, Haiti.
Mark Orwell will join us, international editor for Travel and Leisure Magazine, talking about some of the world's worst travel scams. And Carrie from CruiseBuzz.net will highlight five great reasons to cruise.
But first, Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, is here. He's a contributor for ABC's Good Morning America, CNN, and CBS News. You can call him at 800-700-3881 or go to CruiseGuy.com. He's got info on Alaskan cruises. Stuart, welcome, and tell us, when's the best time to go to Alaska?
Well, let's just say the only time you can go to Alaska is between May and the first couple of weeks of September, and then the show is over. But I'd like to go the end of May, early part of June, because it's right before the families can get out, and that's when the airfare and the upgrades on the cruises are the best, as well as the airfares being the cheapest amount.
How would I choose an itinerary for Alaska?
This is such an important tip, you guys. If you're just doing the cruise, there is absolutely no reasonable reason to do a round-trip Vancouver or a one-way between Vancouver and, let's say, the Anchorage area or Anchorage back to Vancouver. You want to do a 7-night cruise round-trip out of Seattle.
And why is that?
Well, flying in and out of Seattle is a lot less expensive. It could actually save you 30 to 40% on your airfare than had you booked a ticket into Vancouver. Vancouver and Anchorage on an open jaw can be very expensive. And guess what? Vancouver is in Canada, which means you have to deal with international customs. Hmm. And it's not so much the bad part about going to Vancouver, it's coming back could be the problem.
Right.
But Seattle is, of course, a U.S. City. And you know what? It is part of this closed port clause, which means that you can go on this cruise and you don't need a passport on a cruise departing round trip out of Seattle, which makes it a lot less expensive, time-consuming, and the airfare in Seattle is a lot less expensive.
And the distance between Seattle and Vancouver is only, like, what, about 100 miles or a little more?
It takes about 4.5 hours, oh. 3.5 to 4.5 hours to get from Seattle to Vancouver. Actually, Princess Cruises is actually including the airfare back to Seattle and a bus trip up to Vancouver, and it is a great place, but again, there's just no advantage. So if you're just wanting to do the cruise 7 days out of Seattle, if you're going to do a land tour, which means that either before or after the cruise you want to do the train, go up to let's say Talkeetna, Denali, Fairbanks, then you have to do the one way. You can't do it round trip out of Seattle.
And Stuart, what do you want to look for when you're choosing your ship to Alaska?
There are a lot of ships up there, and a lot of it has to do with personal preference. Looking, let's say, round trip out of Seattle, for example, if you're just looking to do the 7-night Inside Passage cruise, Royal Caribbean's up there with Rhapsody of the Seas. Princess is up there with the Golden, and they're bringing their beautiful Sapphire Princess in there. Carnival, for the first time, is going to be doing a round trip on Carnival Spirit. Celebrity's in there with her Infinity. Holland America is there with a couple of their ships. Rotterdam, Amsterdam, Oosterdam. NCL is there with Norwegian Pearl. So it just really kind of comes down to best preference, who's going to give you the best cabin for the least amount of money, what's available. Right now, pricing starting from about $649 per person and goes up. And like I said, it's just like choosing a cruise in the Caribbean. As far as choosing a ship, it's personal preference. It's what you like.
Switching gears, Stuart, Doug got an email from a listener he'd like for you to answer. And as always, you can email Doug at cruiseradio.net. How does it read?
My husband and I want to take a cruise with our 3-year-old son. We are first-time cruisers and have never cruised before, obviously. What cruise line do you recommend?
Well, depending on the itinerary, I would definitely say the most family-friendly cruise lines, not in any particular order, Royal Caribbean, Disney, Princess, Carnival, NCL, you're not going to go wrong with any of those lines. Again, depending on what kind of itinerary you're looking for, you're going to have a wonderful experience, as well as your three-year-old, either together or apart, because they've really got phenomenal facilities that can really cater to, you know, any age group. Between, it's typically on these ships, the age groups go from 3 to 17, and it's just a wonderful way to go.
Right on, man. Thank you. Stuart Sheeran is the cruise guy. You can call him at 800-700-3881 or go to cruiseguy.com. He will be back at the end of the show for Hot Deals.
It doesn't matter where you are, you can get scammed anywhere. And Mark Orwal, international editor of Travel and Leisure Magazine, has some of the world's worst travel scams.
Welcome to Cruise Radio, Mark.
Hey, so glad to be with you today, Matt.
Tell us exactly what your title is. I know you got a lot of big, important duties.
Even more important than my title is the magazine. I work for Travel and Leisure Magazine, the world's leading travel magazine, we like to say. I am the international editor. I write a column for the magazine. It's called Smart Traveler. I've been with the magazine now for 23 years. I love my job.
Mark, what are some of the scams we need to look for when traveling?
Some of them are so brazen, so simple in their evil, really. But they come up with new variations. One of the most obnoxious ones, and you know, maybe your listeners have heard of this one before, I call it the newspaper attack. It's been prominent in Rome primarily.
Yeah.
Basically what it is you're walking down a street in Rome, and all of a sudden you are surrounded by a group of maybe 8 or 10, usually gypsy children. They're holding pieces of cardboard. They're holding newspapers, and they sort of put them around your face, around your waist, just to distract you. And while they're doing this, and they're cute little kids, they're smiling, they're laughing. While they're doing this, they're dipping their hands into your pocket, into your purse, into your coat, grabbing the credit cards, passport, cash, anything they can get. It's that brazen. It's unbelievable. And if you're unaware of it, you could fall victim to this so easily.
And the common theme would be, you know, you keep your purse strapped around your shoulder and close to your body and zipped up and all those common sense things.
Oh, you know, I just got back from a trip to Russia. Actually, I was in Dubai and Germany and Russia. I took a train trip from Moscow to St. Petersburg, and I said to myself, I'm not messing around in this. I went out and I got something I haven't had in a long time, is a money belt, the kind that you wear around your neck, tucks underneath your shirt, and that's where I kept my passport, my credit cards, my cash. And I felt so secure. I'm really glad I did it. I didn't have any problems, fortunately. But if I had, nobody would have been able to get to any of that stuff. You want to keep all of your valuables close to you. Know where they are at all times.
It seems easier for men. Women have to have their purse. But I got to tell you, the older I get, I'm collecting more stuff with the iPhone, the money clip, the notepad and paper, whatever. Blah. I need a purse. I need a man purse. I need a merce.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Actually, I own what I call a merce. It is a shoulder strap. It's like a messenger bag, only it's smaller and goes around your shoulder thing. But I highly recommend it. And it still retains your masculinity.
And I'm sure you look smashing in it.
Oh, yeah. Very hip, I'm sure. All right. Let's move on to some of these here. I'm seeing the hot dog trick.
Well, this is one of the oldest tricks. It's a variation of one that has been going on for centuries, really. In this case, imagine that you're at an airport and you've got your luggage with you, got your carry-on, you got your if you're your merce, or if you're a woman, you got your purse. But anyway, you have all your belongings with you. You're standing there looking at your watch, waiting to go off to your gate. All of a sudden, somebody walks past you and squirt. Oh my gosh, there's mustard all over your shirt, all over your blouse or your coat. The person is very apologetic. They're wiping it off. They're saying, so sorry, so sorry. They're pulling out napkins. It turns out they're just wiping it in worse and worse. You're sort of like, that's okay, man. Just stand back a little bit. Don't worry. It's okay. I can handle this. While all of this is going on, unbeknownst to you, this person's accomplice is actually walking off with your carry-on bags, because, in fact, that was not a hot dog. That was a tube of mustard hidden in a hot dog bun. They saw you as a potential victim, walked by and squirted it on you on purpose to cause this diversion to allow the other bad guy to walk off with
your goods. It's like a plastic hot dog filled with mustard.
exactly
look
what
at
it
disguised.
Is.
It's just that there's nothing but traditional magic tricks, the art of distraction.
You know what? The art of distraction, you've nailed it. You've nailed it so well. In fact, I want to mention another one because the distraction angle, Matt, that you just mentioned is so important for travelers to be aware of. There's another guy I know, Rick Steves, a great guy. He hosts the TV show PBS Travels Through Europe, one of the great travel experts. He told me about this one. He calls it the tumbling woman. He's noticed this in London, but it could happen anywhere. Let's say that you're at the bottom of these huge long escalators in the London Underground, like six stories, you know, down below ground, very, very steep elevators. You get down to the bottom, you're on the platform, all of a sudden it looks like there's a woman who is falling down the escalator. And, oh my gosh, there's a woman falling. You're looking, you're watching, oh no, this is so awful. Well, you know what? It's crowded. Your attention is completely diverted for your belongings. That is the perfect time for your pocket to be picked. And it happens every day. It may not be in London. It could be in New York, for that matter. It could be in Berlin. It could be at an airport. But the thing is, as you pointed out rightly, Matt, your attention was distracted, and a bad guy got into your pocket while you weren't paying attention.
We've only scratched the surface here. You're going to join us again next week. For more, you can go to travelandleisure.com. He is Mark Orwell, the international editor, and you can find his article, Smart Traveler. Always excellent information. Mark, it's a real pleasure talking to you.
Matt, it has been my pleasure to be with you and all your listeners today. Thanks a lot.
You love Cruise Radio, so why not have the show updates? It's easy. All we need is your name and your email address, and we promise no spam. Go to cruiseradio.net and look for sign up for updates on the right side of the homepage.
Cruise Radio will return after these brief words.
Have you been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One. Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun.
Cozumel.
Or New England.
Or Canada.
Or Italy.
Or Greece.
Or the Far East.
Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One. Got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Let us send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising
nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE and the number one. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1 or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number one in cruising nationwide. Cruise One.
Yeah.
Cruise One.
And now back to Cruise Radio with your hosts, Matt Bassford and Doug Parker.
Carrie Bajak from CruiseBuzz.net is a travel agent and blogger. Recently, she wrote a piece on the top five reasons to take a cruise.
Carrie, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you.
The first one seems pretty self-explanatory. Relaxation.
Obviously, I love cruising and everything about cruising, and everybody always needs to know the best reasons why to take a cruise, especially people that have never been on a cruise. So for me, the number one reason would be relaxation, meaning different things, different people. But on cruise ships, there are quiet little nooks and crannies to steal away to and read a book. There's fantastic spas to relax in. And then, of course, some people's idea of relaxation is maybe the roulette table or fantastic eating experience. So there's something for everybody, really. So it just depends on what version of relaxation the person is interested in.
The number two reason, Carrie, you have get more bang for your buck.
If we look at Europe as a destination to go, if you're going to try to put together all of the pieces of a European vacation, when you add up all of the prices of the food, the lodging, the transportation, it starts to get a little bit high, especially with the strong euro. The cruise proposition, however, is great because one price you pay in American dollars, your transportation's paid for, your meals, most of your meals, all your meals really on the ship are included, and your lodging's included, your housekeeper, all of the essentials for a vacation are included in one price. So that is getting more bang for your buck.
When I hear the third one here, enrichment, I'm thinking of lectures being offered, but there's more to it than that.
Well, on cruise ships now, the trend is towards giving people something to do. So there are people that are interested in doing nothing, and they are certainly accommodated. But then there's a lot of people that want to learn something. They want to do something. Culinary cruises are really big, wine-themed cruises, anything with a theme. An affinity group that has something in common, think the Elvis cruise, there's the jazz cruise. There's lots of different little niches where people can go and learn something. If you want to learn about Egypt, you can take a river cruise. You can go to Asia. You can tromp all through Europe. So you can learn anything that you want on these cruises.
Enjoy the fine dining every day. Tell us about it.
Well, the cruise lines, I'll say, they're not your grandparents' cruise lines anymore.
Uh-huh.
So most of the cruise lines have created a reputation for offering the finest dining available. And now with the newer cruise ships, there's these fantastic specialty restaurants. And really, there's something for everybody. So you can eat in the main dining room, or you can pay an upcharge and you can have the most fabulous dinner. For instance, on Crystal Cruises or Winemaker's Dinner, it's phenomenal. Crystal and Celebrity Cruises has a Winemaker's Dinner as well, and they do wine pairings. I was on Princess Cruises recently, and I got to enjoy the chef's table. That was a unique experience. We started off in the galley with the Maitre d' and the sommelier, and they gave us champagne and showed us the operation of the galley. Then we went and had a 5-course dinner, and it was just really fun.
And reason number 5 to take a cruise, get on the water and get some space.
Well, you know, the world is shrinking around us, and when you take to the water, you'll have an uninterrupted view of just nothing but water. That sounds kind of relaxing to me.
Carrie Bajak, we can find you at cruisebuzz.net. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Francois Guillaume Jr. is the executive director of the Haitian American Chamber of Commerce of Florida, based in Miami. He was also in Haiti at the time of that catastrophic earthquake and barely escaped death. Francois, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
It's an incredible story. Please tell us, if you would, about that day.
That morning, the morning of the 12th, I had just arrived in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, with a group of investors, an investment bank and a person representing an engineering firm called PBF&J. They were staying at the Montana, although I wasn't.
Right.
They went ahead first, and I met with them with my partner around 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Hotel Montana, at which point we proceeded on having lunch and talking about the seminar that we're, the summit that we're going to have the following day. And at 4:30, a couple of us went back to the airport to pick up another gentleman that was arriving at that time. I stayed behind with this gentleman by the name of Leroy Strickland, who represents PBF&J, because there were just not enough space in their car to all go to the airport.
Francois, if I can just clarify here real quick, you and your group are at the Hotel Montana in Haiti, and some of your group went to the airport to pick up another member while you and Leroy stayed behind. What happened then?
As I was talking to Lee, I have been suffering from a little bit of a headache all day.
Right.
And I asked the Hotel Montana crew for some headache pill or headache medicine, and it didn't seem to have any. I'm not sure if they didn't have any or it's their policy not to give any medicine.
Like a liability factor, perhaps,
right,
or something. And go ahead.
I leave. I tell Leroy I'll be right back. And, you know, at that point in time, Leroy has never been in Haiti. I didn't want to venture with him in a situation of Port-au-Prince. So I'm thinking I'll leave him in the safest place that I know, which is the Hotel Montana.
Right.
So I told him that I'll be right back. I'm going to get some headache medicine, and I'll be back. That was 4:40 when I left. And as you know, the whole episode and the hotel collapsed around 4:53.
13 minutes later, while you're out getting aspirin or whatever. That's unbelievable. Of course, you got back and Leroy didn't survive. Is that correct?
Well, he's still unaccounted for. We're under the assumption that he did not survive. following day, my partner and I, we dropped off the other group at the U.S. Embassy, and we chose to stay behind to try to look for Lee. And we stayed behind for 5 more days, going to the Montana and U.S. Embassy and walking to the hospitals to see if we may have found Lee, but we never found him.
Then again, we're still getting reports like the young girl found alive earlier this week.
We keep hearing those unbelievable stories with those people as resilient as their body can be. They keep finding them alive, so there is a little glimmer of hope.
Now, switching gears, because I know you feel strongly about this, Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines continuing service to Labadee, and they're under a lot of fire for this. Some of the critics in the media are saying that it's immoral for passengers to enjoy vacations and drinking so close by to the death and destruction. Now, a lot of the media, and this is very disappointing, they've got their facts wrong. Number one, they say Labadee is a private island. Well, it's actually a private beach, a part of the island of Haiti, and they're saying it's only a few miles away, when in fact it is 90 miles away. But above all, they're missing the fact that Royal Caribbean is bringing lots of supplies right now. Please share your thoughts.
You know, I have a very strong stance on that. I cannot understand for the life of me why people will stop any kind or try to derail any kind of economic development activity going in the country right now.
Right.
As you know, Port-au-Prince was the capital, and Port-au-Prince was pretty much the center of all economic activity going in the country. We must, Haiti must be able to develop any types of other economic development. I implore Royal Caribbean to go to Labadee, and also if they can, while they go to Labadee, perhaps they can bring some supplies, medical supplies, for some of the sick or injured. I implore other Caribbean cruises to explore some other beautiful areas of Haiti also that I think would be interesting for them to explore, especially the southern coast of Haiti. I mean, we cannot afford to let any type of revenue that we already have, we cannot afford to let that go. We need that revenue for the survival of the country.
Royal Caribbean is providing pallets upon pallets of supplies immediately right now, whereas a lot of donations of whether it's money or supplies are still waiting in warehouses somewhere, not even in Haiti.
Exactly, and I really thank Royal Caribbean for doing what it's been doing. It's being a real catalyst of, as I said, economy development in that area of the country. And I really don't understand that logic. I mean, when Katrina happened, I didn't hear anybody ask Las Vegas to be closed. I mean, it's a country. Port-au-Prince was hit, Leogan was hit, but other areas, other towns in the country must live on. You cannot afford to close off all economic activity in the other country, in other areas.
Francois Guillaume Jr. is the executive director of the Haitian American Chamber of Commerce of Florida. That website, by the way, is HACCOF.com. Just think of it as Haitian American Chamber of Commerce of Florida. But it's HACCOF.com. Francois, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
This is your cruise news. Looks like the mayor of Charleston, South Carolina, is striking back against cruise lines bringing additional service. Our own Doug Parker was there back in September when the announcement was made that Carnival was positioning the Carnival Fantasy into Charleston full-time in May. Here was the response from a local business owner.
Sure, we're very excited to have the year-round Carnival cruise line here in Charleston for many benefits. First being, of course, the tourism dollars that we'll bring in when it starts year-round here in May. And secondly, having a cruise ship here means a lot for our locals because they can take the cruise directly out of Charleston versus driving to Jacksonville or Baltimore, which is quite the commute. So all in all, we're very excited. Looking forward to May and the Carnival cruise ship being here all year round.
4 months later, Charleston Mayor Joe Riley was quoted, "It is important that the cruise ship business, like other things in Charleston, be at the right scale," Riley said during his annual State of the City address. This year, Celebrity Cruises have started 10 and 11 night sailings from the Port of Charleston. Carnival Cruise Lines is also offering 5, 6, and 7-day voyages to the Bahamas and Key West, Florida on the 2,056-passenger Carnival Fantasy. The Charleston, South Carolina mayor's office was unavailable for any comment. This reported by the Caribbean Daily News. The cruise ship, the Carnival Miracle, has sailed for Fort Lauderdale after completing repairs to a 15-foot tear it sustained during a collision with a pier on Thursday. The accident occurred after winds gusting up to 37 knots pushed the ship against a protective fender while berthed at Port Zante. None of the 2,178 passengers and 914 crew members reported any injuries during the mishap. In a statement, Carnival Cruise Line said the repairs to the tear on the ship's forward port side were completed on Friday and that the Miracle's visit was the last port of call on an 8-day cruise. And that is your cruise news. For more, go to cruiseradio.net. The Cruise Guy has the hot deals. What you got?
Well, we are in the Alaska booking season, so I would definitely take a look at making those reservations now, because as of Royal Caribbean's fourth quarter earnings report, they said looking forward that bookings are up 30% year over year, and the booking patterns are steady and prices are therefore going up. So now is definitely the time. Right now, the round-trip cruises, you can find, pick out Sapphire Princess is one of my favorite ships up there, starting from just $649 per person. You know, the Panama Canal is still a wonderful option, but if we really want to go off the deep end, I mentioned a cruise out of San Francisco in September, September 22nd, actually. So if you've got an entire month off, you have a month and you have nothing to do, and you'd like to go from San Francisco to Sydney, Australia, this is a great cruise because it visits not only San Francisco, but it goes to Hawaii, it goes to Moorea in French Polynesia, overnights in Papeete, goes to Bora Bora, so you can see where they photograph all the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues. Heading off to Pago Pago in the American Samoa. Fiji, it goes to Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin, Fjordland, and into Sydney. And for 30-night cruise, the 30-night Trans-Pacific cruise, the prices are only starting from $37.99 per person, cruise only. And, I mentioned the Panama Canal. March 28th, I still love those two sailings on Celebrity's Infinity going westbound, or the Constellation going eastbound from San Diego to Miami, or Infinity is going from Fort Lauderdale to San Diego. Pricing is starting at just $14.99 for the 14-night cruise, including round-trip air and one-night hotel. Great, great deal.
I'm sorry, what was the ship going to the Sports Illustrated swimsuit area?
That was Sapphire Princess.
Okay, good. Just want to clarify that. I'm writing that down.
You know, some people say, well, I'd like to do something that's a little bit longer, but I don't have, I need to have a little bit of time to plan. So that's why I figured, that would be this is a good time to plan, because that is a sailing that will definitely go up in price, not down. Again, that date was September 22nd, Sapphire Princess, 30 nights from $37.99. And I saw that Princess has got a return trip back to the West Coast for only about $800.
You want to talk to Stuart? 800-700-3881, 800-700-3881, or go to cruiseguy.com. Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy, as always, a great pleasure.
Thanks, you guys.
Next week, we'll talk to President and CEO Dietmar Wertunzel of Cruise West, who launches their first world cruise in March.
If you missed any part of our show or want to hear more, log on to cruiseradio.net and click on the radio channel, or subscribe to Cruise Radio on iTunes. For great advertising opportunities, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Advertise at the top.
From the Cruise One studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.